Well, good evening, everybody. Let's set that clock. Thank you. I don't know if my voice will get back there, so you may want to come closer. Last week, we studied a little bit of Dogen on the fundamental quality of utmost sincerity and a trusting heart in terms of our life and our practice and living the awakened way or the Buddha way. So tonight I want to continue with that a little bit. I'll read some from Dogen, and then I'll read a story from this book, Finger Painting on the Moon, and then some more Dogen. And I think I want to start by saying that when I think about our Sangha, one of the things I'm most grateful for is all of your sincerity. I think this is a very sincere sangha. You can see it through the constant dedication and giving that takes place within the sangha. It's very sincere. And that's a good sign. It's not just a good sign for each individual, it's a good sign for the life of the Buddha, which we all are living, each in our individual way. And that's a good sign for the world. So I feel really grateful to be part of the Sangha because of that utmost sincerity that I see coming out in our practice and in our way together. Dogen says, This will shock you. The realm of all Buddhas is inconceivable. But you didn't know that. The realm of all Buddhas is inconceivable. Right? It cannot be reached by intellect. There's another shocker, hey? The realm of all Buddhas is inconceivable. It cannot be reached by intellect. I should say it cannot be reached by intellect alone. Intellect is not left out of the realm of all Buddhas. It's just not, you cannot think your way to what the realm of all Buddhas means. Though thought can be part of it. The realm of all Buddhas is inconceivable. It cannot be reached by intellect. Much less can those who have no trust or lack of wisdom know it. Only those who have the great capacity of genuine trust can enter this realm. It's a pretty defining statement. So I thought, well, what does it look like if you have genuine trust? There's a wonderful story from the Zen tradition that I included in this book, Finger Painting on the Moon. One day, I'm going to change it a little because I have the right to, because I wrote it, so I can do anything I want. I have the copyright. One day, a practitioner was walking in the mountains on Salt Spring near a cliff, when suddenly she felt the ground slip from beneath her feet. Some of you may have felt that way from time to time, even lying in bed. She experienced herself falling, and at the last moment, she fell. As she fell, she grabbed onto a branch that was sticking out from the side of the cliff. Frightened, she called out, "Help, help," but no one else was around to hear her. After some time, A teacher and some students who were walking nearby heard her cries and came to the edge of the cliff. And when this practitioner saw them, she shouted, "Please, you've got to help me." The teacher looked at the situation. That's a key phrase. The teacher didn't look at her. The teacher looked at the situation, which included her. When we live our lives, we often just look at ourselves. But we forget that actually we exist in context. We're part of a situation. So if we want to really see what's going on with ourselves, we have to look at the situation. That's why the teacher looked at the situation. The teacher looked at the situation, right? Each thing has its own virtue and relates to everything else in function and position. That's looking at the situation. The teacher looked at the situation and said to her, "Just let go." The practitioner was terrified because she knew she was hanging vertically in midair, high above the ground, and yet this teacher was telling her to let go. "I can't," she cried. But the teacher was very kind and very firm. And so he told her, "You've got to let go. Without any hesitation, you've got to let go now." So she did. This practitioner let go and found that she had not been hanging vertically in midair after all. The entire time, she had actually been lying horizontally on the ground, and the ground had been supporting her all along. So this is, I think, a pretty good example of utmost sincerity and a trusting heart. The teacher was sincere. The practitioner was sincere. The teacher had complete confidence, trusting heart, in the Buddha Dharma, in the Buddha realm, and in that person in front of her or him. We don't know if the teacher was male or female. And the practitioner had a trusting heart, trusted the Dharma, trusted her situation, trusted that she could let go because she was in this realm where letting go was something that was comprehensible. And she discovered that, in fact, all that had happened is that she mistakenly thought she was hanging in midair, when actually she had been supported to the ground of the Buddha Dharma the whole time. And that's the meaning of the symbols in that story. So there were times that we're practicing right here with that practitioner, right here. And suddenly we feel like we're falling. We're going to die. And then the teacher inside of us can say, "Go ahead. Let go. The only thing that's keeping you back from being yourself completely and entering the realm of all Buddhas is the idea you have that you're in danger. It's the idea you have that you're hanging in midair with no support anywhere, when actually everything has always been supporting you from the very beginning of time and space. You have never actually been in danger. And the only thing that has threatened you is your idea of yourself, your idea of your situation, your limited understanding of what your reality really is and how connected and supported you are." This is an important teaching for us, because everything in our practice depends upon our being willing to take that final step of trusting ourselves, a final step of having confidence in what's called our Buddha nature, and having confidence that actually there's no falling possible. And so if we let go of our idea, if we let go of our conception, which is based on dualistic thinking, we discover we can't fall. My teacher said it to me one day this way. He said, it feels narrow, but the path is wide. It's so wide, you can't fall off. That was great. That was at a time that I was feeling very shaky in my situation. And I didn't trust the Dharma. I thought somehow I alone, separate from the Dharma, was going to have to figure it out. It was just a delusion. When the Buddha was alive, this is Dogen, when the Buddha was alive, someone realized the fruits of attainment when he was hit by a ball. Another person understood the great way by putting on a Buddha robe for a joke. They were both ignorant people, just like beasts. But with the aid of genuine trust, they were able to be freed from their delusions. So that's how important trust is. If the trust is at that deep cellular level, if we can bring ourselves to trust at that deep level, anything could be the agency of awakening. Being hit by a ball or putting on a Buddha robe just for a joke. We don't know what it's going to be, but if the conditions are ripe and we have that trust, we can become free from delusion. And trust is the crucial element. Very key. And we don't know what it'll be because I read to you last week from Dogen, what you receive with trust is your one verse or your one phrase. So it could be anything. It could be anything we do. It could be tuning our guitar. It could be flipping a pancake. We don't know. But if we're living in the world where we have a trusting heart, and that comes with the kind of confidence that comes with practice. It's not willing ourselves to trust. It's discovering trust from inside. That's part of our nature, part of our Buddha nature, part of our being, that we nourish through practice. It can happen. Those who study the way seek to be immersed in the way, says Dogen. Those who study the way seek to be immersed in the way. Immersed is a key word here. That's what he's talking about with a trusting heart or utmost sincerity. Complete immersion. No pinky, no little toe sticking out. All the way through. For those who are immersed in the way, even all traces of enlightenment disappear. Because there's no longer subject and object. Those who practice the Buddha way should first of all trust in the Buddha way. And we can ask ourselves, we can reflect kindly on ourselves and ask, how big is the gap between me and my true self? Based on the reality that I, in some part of myself, do hold myself back with an idea of separation. Like the student hanging, believing that she was hanging in the air. How much am I doing that? Can I afford to give a little of that up? Am I willing to give a little of that up to come closer to myself? To come closer to the realm of the Buddha, which after all is right here in my life? Those who practice the Buddha way should first of all trust in the Buddha way. Those who trust in the Buddha way should trust that they are in essence, within the Buddha way. It's asking a lot, I know. Those who trust in the Buddha way should trust that they are in essence within the Buddha way, where there is no delusion, no false thinking, no confusion, no increase or decrease, and no possibility that you can make a mistake. Arousing such trust and illuminating the way in this manner and practicing accordingly are fundamental for those who study the way. So Dogen is really, he's really laying it out. He's saying, let your honest looking at yourself, let that honest conversation, that honest dokusan between you and yourself, reveal to you where you're holding back, where you're not letting go of your conception or your idea of yourself, of the world, of reality, of the Buddha way, of how all-inclusive this practice truly can be. And then let yourself go deeper in your practice. Trust that you are actually on a ground, and that this ground embraces you, and that you will not fall. And then endeavor through your practice to just let go. That last thread. The last one. Oh no. I know. Because no people are different. That it's easy to say what I've been saying, and difficult to do. But what do you have to lose? You can ask yourself, what do I have to lose? If I just stay with my zazen instead of letting myself off the hook again and just finding myself in the same old suffering predicament that I'm always in. What do I have to lose but my delusion? And so sometime when you're sitting, just drive yourself forward just a little more, a little further. You can test my teacher's statement that the path is so wide you can't fall off. Test him. You can tell me. If you find out that he's wrong, I'll call him. Tell him, you're wrong. We discovered it here on Salt Spring. Would someone like to make a comment?
No delusion.
No
delusion.
No delusion. It's a great comment, Simone. It actually could sound like everything I've just said to you is just pure delusion. Good. I want you to test it. See if it's true. One of the reasons, and I'm looking at the clock, so we have to stop. I'm sorry. One of the reasons that Dogen is so strict about this is because the poisons of greed, aggression, and delusion are so strong that only a strong medicine can address them. And if there is any minute loophole in our way of living, in our being willing to give ourselves completely and wholeheartedly 100% to this life, those poisons will rush in and flood us. And Dogen knows this. And so he says, if you really want to live within the Buddha realm with no delusion, without all the suffering that comes from those poisons, this is the way to do it. And for Dogen, he would say, and there is no other way. Tried and true. So it may not be the way for everybody, but for Zen practitioners, this is what we're offering. This is what we do. And please remember that. It's something that people who don't practice in our way really can't see. That it is truly a dedication to ending suffering. And not just for ourselves, but for all beings. So, yeah, Chad.
The thing about the trust you're talking about, and that trust to we need that for, like, we're always talking about having the right conditions. I don't know what the right conditions are. I have to somehow trust that I will know the right conditions when the right conditions are there. And that is, I find, extremely difficult. I'm constantly looking for my conditions and.
So Dogen would tell you, you can't know the right conditions.
You can't.
There is one right condition. Zazen. Without that, not going to happen. Shikantaza is what he would say.
Shikantaza. Right condition.
Complete 100% give yourself away in your practice. That cures all of the dualistic conditions. So therefore it's called the conditionless condition. Okay?
Mm-hmm.